الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم There's a particular story that happened at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. There was a delegation from a tribe that came to meet the Prophet ﷺ. And within that tribe, there was one person by the name of Munzur. And he also had this name Ash because he had a wound on his forehead. He had this name Ashadji Abdul Qais. So that delegation came to meet the Prophet ﷺ in Medina Munawwara, and when they reached Medina Tayyiba, the other members of that delegation, they immediately got off from their ride and they came in the khidmah in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ. But this person, Abdul Qais, he took his time. First he went, took a bath, purified himself, then he changed his clothes, and then after that he came to meet the Prophet, came in the presence and the company of the Prophet ﷺ, and then gathering. And the Prophet ﷺ, he saw him and then said that there are two inna fika khaslatain, that in this person, Abdul Qais, this person has two traits. The Prophet ﷺ was addressing the other members of the delegation and saying that this person is coming from your tribe. This person has two qualities, yuhibbuhum Allah. And those two qualities are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, al-hilm, any forbearance. And number two, wal-ana. Wal-ana to deliberateness, to do task with deliberation. These are two qualities that this person has which are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So today we want to speak about the first one, which is al-hilmu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves hilm. Hilm normally means forbearance, or you can say tolerance, the ability to withstand, the ability to take a burden. And there's some people who by nature have this tabia that they're forbearing, they're tolerant by nature. In fact, you also have this word tahammul in Arabic language, which means having a burden, something which is heavy, but despite that heavy burden, you still choose to carry that. And you also have this word hilm, which comes from the same root. Interestingly, this is also one of the sifat of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also forbearing. Allah has hilm, he is al-halim. So in one ayat Allah mentions وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَلِيمًا. Allah brings these two attributes together, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge, he is alim, he is all-knowing, and he is also al-halim, he is extremely forbearing. He has this tahammul, he tolerant. And this, in this verse, there is a secret, because if you look at it, when someone wrongs you, when someone hurts you, and if you want to forgive that person, you forgive him or her on the basis of what you know. They have hurt you, they did something to you, you forgive them, and you don't even know the whole story. You might just know 10% of that story, what they have said to you, to your face. That's what you're forgiving them for. You don't know what they have said behind your back, what they have said, what they have thought. You don't know any of that. But whether you forgive them or get angry with them, whatever your reaction is, it's a very limited knowledge that you have. But if you contrast this, in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He's Al-Aleem. Allah knows. He knows at a very, very deep level. He knows when you think about something, how that thought crept into your heart, how it crept into your mind, how you showed that thought, if you felt remorse, if you didn't feel remorse, if you showed regret, if you didn't do tawbah. Allah knows the intentions of the heart, the workings of your heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Aleem, but at the same time Allah ta'ala is Haleem. That Allah, He knows 100% of what we are thinking, what we are doing, but He still chooses to have that tahammul. He chooses to have that tolerance. He chooses to forgive, chooses to overlook, chooses to give us a second chance despite being all-knowing. So this is something that we have to learn. There is this saying in Arabic, right, that you have to adorn yourself with the khulq, with the character of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the attributes of Allah. And this is that attribute of Allah ta'ala that we can adorn, we can beautify ourselves with, that we can also become forbearing. And this is another attribute which is very important in the times that we are living in, whether it's at home, in our relationships, or in our workplace, or in our, you know, universities and colleges where we study, right? Tolerance. We see that there is we don't have this quality of tolerance, of forbearance within us. Many people, we have short tempers, right? They're intolerant. And that's a big problem that we have, right? That we have a lot of knowledge, whether it's knowledge of the deen or the knowledge of the dunya, whatever knowledge we have, but it doesn't lead us to hilm. It doesn't lead us to hilm. I just need a couple of seconds. Few seconds here. So this is something that we have to look back into and look what Islam says about hilm, what Islam says about forbearance. And if you look at the ayat and look at the concept that Islam gives us, it's very deep, it's very robust. It's at a very high level that Islam is teaching us that you should do good to someone who treats you badly as well. And we see this, you know, if every person in the world, every time someone gives you a thorn, and you also give everyone a thorn, then the whole world will become a full of thorns. So there is a saying in a hadith about Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, that once someone was cursing Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, and they kept on saying and saying something bad. And then someone said to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam that, why aren't you replying? Why aren't you responding? Right? That, you know, nowadays, if someone was to curse us and say something bad, right, immediately we'll give that reply, the response. And sometimes our response might be even more strong, right, more intense. And people think that's a good thing, that, you know, he's very cunning, she is very intelligent, you know, that person is very smart, right? We use those sentences, that they can stand up for themselves. We celebrate that. In fact, that's actually quite anti-Islamic. It goes against the teachings of Islam. So Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, someone asked him that, why don't you reply to that person? And he gave a very beautiful answer. He said that every dish takes out what's inside of it. Every dish takes out what's inside of it. So that person is cursing me. That means that there is impurity within him, and he's taking that out. And Hazrat Isa alayhi salam did not respond in kind. And there is forbearance within me, there is goodness within me, so that goodness is coming out, I'm not responding. So often we see in these situations, pressurizing situations that you have, you know, sometimes we are in this pressure cooker environment, whether it's academics, studies, and our profession, and our family life. In these pressure situations, basically what's in your heart, that will come out. If you speak bad language, if you speak these bad words, that means that that is what's in our heart. And if we have sabr, if we have hilm, this forbearance, tolerance, that is then, that's what inside our heart then. If we get angry, that's what in our heart. If you want to abuse the person, want to hit the person, want to do oppression on that person, want to take revenge, that shows what's inside our heart. So when you have a pressure cooker, it elicits our reactions. Do we have that tolerance and forbearance? Or are we going to be an angry person? And there is another riwayah that once someone was arguing with Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. And that person kept on arguing and arguing and arguing and saying different things. And Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was quiet. And the Prophet was standing with him. And neither of them were responding or saying anything to that person. And that person kept on abusing. Until finally, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he couldn't take it anymore. He couldn't take it anymore and he said something. The moment he said something, the Prophet ﷺ got up and he left. He got up from that gathering and he left. And then later Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asked him that, Ya Rasulullah, why did you leave? And the Prophet ﷺ said, until you were quiet, and when you weren't saying anything, the angels were responding on your behalf. They were responding. But the minute you spoke, the angels left, and that's why I left as well. So this shows that if we have this tolerance, this hilm, forbearance, then it doesn't matter what someone is saying to you. Your reaction is tolerance. You take the higher ground. That is what Islam is teaching us. It's a very on a higher level. And that's the key. Because you cannot end a bad situation in a bad way. If you want to purify, now this is a legal masla. If you want to purify an impurity, you need something pure. If there's some gandagi or filth that is there, you have to wash it with water. You have to wash it with a pure substance. You can't wash it with something that's impure. It will just make that thing even more impure. So if you want to rectify the bad habits of people, the bad character of people, the bad personalities of people, we have to do that with goodness. We have to do that by taking the higher ground, forbearance, tolerance. We have to do it with a pure heart, with hilm. And this is something that if you look at the deen, you know, someone asked that what about the rights? That should we fight for our rights? And in Islam, it says that it's actually allowed that you can take revenge when someone has wronged you, when someone has done something, you can equally, according to the law, according to the court, you can take revenge in equal amount. But then there is also a verse in the Quran where Allah says that those who do sabr and forgive, right? This is one of the higher things to do. Difficult, min azmil umur. It's a difficult, but at one of the higher plane that Islam is giving us. That if a person, this patience can only come when you have this hilm, this tolerant nature. This tolerant nature leads a person to forgive others as well. And there is another hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said that fear the dua of the mazloom, fear the dua of those who are oppressed, because when a mazloom makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is no hijab between that person's dua and Allah. There's no parda between him and Allah. There's no veil. That dua immediately goes up to Allah ta'ala and is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you look at this, right, when zulm is done upon a person, and if they were to make a baddua, that baddua is accepted. And if you can flip this in a positive way, that if they make any dua, not baddua, a good dua, then that will also be kabul. Right? So if someone wrongs you, you become mazloom, and then it's up to you, what dua do you make? Allah will accept the dua of the mazloom. As opposed to making a bad dua, if we have this hilm and tolerance within us, forbearance within us, we can use that situation in a positive way, make dua for us and dua for the other person as well. And since we are a mazloom, our duas are accepted, this dua that we are making will also be accepted. And you know, most of us will look at this hadith and we just understand this in baddua, that fear the baddua of a mazloom. But the higher level of people, those who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when there was zulm done upon them, when they were treated unjustly, and still this baddua would not come out of their tongue or their heart. Unki dil se dua nikalti thi. Only a dua, a good dua, would come from their heart and their tongue. And that is what you see in the lives of our akabir, of our early Muslims, right? They were people who were at the highest level of iman, people who were living this, had this quality of forbearance and hilm within them. There is a story of a very pious man, Buzurg. He was an Allah wala, friend of Allah. People used to be, he couldn't care what other people thought about him. He was so attached to Allah. So once he was traveling on a boat and he had just gotten his head shaved and he was sitting there doing his ibadat, doing his own work, and his head was freshly shaved such that it had a very shiny look. So the children who were there on the ship, and they were a bit, you can say, shararti, right? So one kid came and he hit his head. And this person, he didn't say anything. Then another kid came and he hit his head again. And they kept on doing this and he didn't say anything. Then after a while, you know, all these kids would just pass by and do something, throw something. And this, you know, Allah wala, this person, this pious man, he was just sitting there quietly doing his stuff, not saying anything. Tahammul, right? Forbearance. Just ignoring and not responding. And the children, they kept on doing this. And then even the adults of that ship, they started laughing. The children were laughing. Everyone was laughing at him. And he was just quietly doing his stuff, not caring what they were thinking. Right? Allah wale, person of Allah. Then at that time, what happened? Allah Ta'ala, all of a sudden, Allah placed an ilham, a thought came into his heart. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that if you want, I could overturn this boat and I will save you, and this would be their punishment. So this person, he could have made that dua. He could have made this bad dua. He was mazloom. He was being oppressed. But he said that, Ya Allah, if you want to overturn this boat, I ask you that you overturn the boat of their hearts. If you want to overturn any boat, Allah overturned the boat of their hearts and he changed their hearts. And it comes that later all those people, they made tawbah and they, all of them became amongst the mu'mineen, very religious, very pious people of that time. So this is something that the people who have forbearance, hilm, because of their humanity, people, other people change. Other people, their humanity can melt even the hardest of hearts. There's another famous story about Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an, that once, you can imagine, during the heat of a battle, you're fighting and you're seeing your friends are being killed. So in the heat of the battle, he was fighting a person on the other side, and just as he was about to overpower the enemy, just about to kill the enemy, that man, he spat on the face of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an. And you can imagine that in the heat of the battle, he could have just killed him right away, right? If someone spits on our face, how angry would we be? And if he had a sword in our hand, you know, we'll just do it. He spat on his face. And now look at the forbearance, the hilm of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. His bravery and then his forbearance was such that he took back his sword. And he said that, I can't kill you now. Get up and go. Fight someone else. So that man is shocked. He said that, I just spat on your face when you're fighting me. I'm from the enemy side. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said that, I can't kill you. Before I was fighting you for the sake of Allah, and now it's going to be a personal issue. It's going to be a personal thing. So I can't kill you for a personal reason. I can only fight you if my intention is pure. And they say that that person's heart, it melted. Any a disbeliever who seeing the face of the Prophet sallallahu, right, his heart never melted. Seeing the face of Sayyidina Ali, his heart never melted. But these words, this hilm, this forbearance that he was shown, this hilm melted the hardest of hearts. So this is a quality which is so loved by Allah Ta'ala, because it can change the most animal type of a person and make them into true human beings. So we should have this quality of forbearance within us. We see that we're so lacking in this, right? We're so quick, we're so short-tempered, and if we lack in forbearance, means that we're lacking in our humanity. When we act out of anger, when we act intolerant, we're actually selling our humanity. We are selling this heart that was human, right? So this is a, we see this, it's a big problem, not just religious, irreligious people, even religious people within Muslim societies becoming intolerant. Intolerance, no particular group, as a qom, as a nation, as a community, right? We see this. And this is also a time when a person really has to look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because obviously, if you want to see a human being in the most perfect form, we need to see, we have to study hadith, we have to study the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you look at the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we'll realize how much hilm, how much forbearance did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have. Subhanallah. One is amazed, right? So if you look, sometimes, a person is the most intolerant with their own family members. So it's narrated that Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, he used to live in the house of the Prophet sallallahu to do khidmat. Now it is said that, your khadim, your servants, they know you the best. If you really want to know someone, ask their servant whether he is tolerant or she is intolerant, right? That's when you know. That's when you find out about the anger of that person. And so who are there to do your khidmah? So Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to do the khidmat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he lived for 10 years in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, very close quarter, doing khidmat of Nabi alayhi salam. And he said in a hadith, that when the Prophet ﷺ told me to do something and I didn't do it, obviously he was a young man, he would have made mistakes, right? Kuch na kuch gadbad ho jati hai. So he said that if I was supposed to do something and I didn't do it, the Prophet ﷺ never said that, why didn't you do it? And if there was something I wasn't supposed to do and I did it, the Prophet ﷺ never said that, why did you do it? Always tahammul, always this hilm and forbearance. So this is something that the Prophet sallallahu, his own family member attested to. Then another thing about Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which is narrated by Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said that the Prophet sallallahu never got angry about his own personal issues. And if someone did something to him, if someone hurt him, and subhanAllah, you read that in hadith, right? That somebody came to the Prophet sallallahu, and he tugs at the shawl of the Prophet sallallahu, and someone comes and they tug so hard that the Prophet sallallahu, he gets a mark, a nishan on his back. But the Prophet sallallahu, he never said anything. There was no personal issue, personal vendetta, right? If he got angry, he would only get angry for the sake of Islam, for the sake of Allah, for the sake of Muslims. Never anything personal, no personal revenge. And another hadith about the Prophet sallallahu, once Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she asked him that, what was the most difficult period of your life? What was the most hard day of your life? And the Prophet sallallahu said that it has been 9 years, but I still feel that grief about what happened to me at Taif, this journey, the Safar of Taif. Now, I think every one of us, we might have some day in our life or some issue in our life. Everyone has some sort of a story like that. If you start thinking about that day, right, the gham in your life, the episode in your life, you start thinking and you might start crying. That grief is still so fresh, right? It's still there. Even though it might have happened many, many years ago, lekin wo gham taza hai. So for the Prophet sallallahu, that day, that gham was Taif, that sadness was Taif. And you know, we can only imagine. Some of you might have heard about this, right? That when the Prophet sallallahu, when he went to Taif, when your own people, your own family, your own khandan has rejected you, we get so upset, right? If our family even says the slightest thing to us, we have no tahammul. We have no forbearance, tolerance. Imagine that your whole family outrightly they reject you. And then you say that maybe I should go and check out my extended family members in Taif. So the Prophet, he goes all by himself, walking all by himself to Taif, going there, and then being chased out of that town, not just by adults, but also by children. And he's being hit, and he was injured, and then he was bleeding. And the Prophet is bleeding and being chased out of that town by children. And imagine the embarrassment. Imagine the gham, the sadness, the humiliation that a person might feel at that time. At that time, one also feels anger that why did these people treat me like this? And then at that time, Allah Ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam to say that if you want, we can just get rid of everyone here. But even at that time, the Prophet said that no, that maybe there might be some children born among them who would be Muslims. This is called future thinking, positive thinking. And actually, many, many religious people, they came from the children of those people of Taif. So this is the tahammul, the tolerance, the forbearance of the Prophet, that even in the time when the baddua would have been accepted, the Prophet ﷺ, he chose to make dua. And this was a time of qubuliyat. When we are wronged, we are tempted, our nafs tempts us to make baddua. We want to hurt that person. We want that person to feel that same hurt that we felt. But if at that time you say, no, I want to have this hilm, forbearance, I want to be tolerant, I will not make baddua, I will make dua. May Allah Ta'ala give them hidayat. May Allah Ta'ala give them happiness. May Allah bring them on the straight path. So it requires a big heart. Like some of our teachers used to say, that to run a big show, you need to have a big heart. And to run a big family, you need to have a big heart. To run a big institution, you need to have a big heart. To run anything big, you need to have a big heart because there will be ups and downs. It doesn't matter who you are living with, where you're living, which family background you belong to, you need to have a big heart, a heart which has hilm, forbearance. There's another episode from the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Most people, you know, when it comes to their children, they melt. You can withstand the pressure for your own self, but when it comes to our children, our hearts are very, very soft. If someone hurts you, you're not that offended. But when someone hurts your child, and if someone could kill your child, then most people can't bear that. Now, in the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he had a daughter by the name of Zainab. Radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he said about her that she was tormented because she accepted Islam. And the amount of torment she had to withstand because of her acceptance of Islam, no one else had been tormented to that same degree. She was tormented because she accepted Islam. Her husband, however, at that time hadn't accepted Islam. So they didn't leave her, they didn't allow her to leave Makkah Mukarramah to make this hijrah to Madinah Tayyibah. Then finally, when they let her leave for Madinah Tayyibah after some time, they said that we're going to take your son. And then as she was leaving, she was expecting at that time. So some of her relatives, her own relatives from the husband's side, they came and they hit the camel and made her fall down on the ground. And she fell off the camel, she hurt herself. They took the son as well. And they told her that you can go, but your son is not going to be allowed to go with you. And because of that fall, she hurt her back. And then she went through a miscarriage as well. Now, you can imagine, right, going through a miscarriage, how much pain. And then on top of that, having to travel in that day and age for 2 weeks, like a 14-day journey from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Tayyibah. 2 weeks by camel to Madinah Tayyibah, having a miscarriage at the same time. And it is said that it was because of these injuries that she eventually passed away as well. So the Prophet says, the man who hit the camel and made that camel, made her fall down, his name was Hibr bin Aswad. And later the Prophet says, forgave him as well when he came to Makkah Mukarramah. He was one of those people who was captured, and the Prophet ﷺ forgave him. This was the hilm of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And one other episode, which is perhaps the most celebrated episode they'll mention, is that of Fatah Makkah. At that time, again, go back to that same city that kicked you out, right? It's a very famous story. When the Prophet ﷺ came back to Makkah Mukarramah, he first went to Khane Kaaba. When he came to Baitullah Sharif, the first thing he did was he asked for the keys. And the keys of Baitullah, at that time, it belonged to a man named Usman bin Talha. He was not a Muslim. So the Prophet asked Usman bin Talha to give him the keys. And then he opened the door. The Prophet went inside, prayed. And while he was praying, other senior Sahaba like Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Ali, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were standing outside, right? All of them were waiting, standing outside. And obviously, it happens when a person is successful, you select the people that are close to you. So now everyone is waiting for the Prophet system to come out, so that they wanted to see who will the Prophet system give the keys to, the keys of Baitullah Sharif. Some said that it would go to Abu Bakr. Some said that it will go to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, right? Everyone was waiting to find out that who was going to get the keys. And obviously, you will try to give the keys to the people who are your closest followers. And when the Prophet ﷺ came out, he called Usman bin Talha. And he said that, Usman, do you remember when I was leaving for Hijrah? I was leaving Makkah Mukarramah. I came to Baitullah Sharif and I really wanted to go inside. It was a big desire of my heart that I could go one last time inside Baitullah Sharif and pray. And I asked you, O Usman, that can you give me the keys? Can you open the doors for me so that I can pray inside? And you said that no, you didn't allow me, you didn't give me permission. And at that time, I was very hurt. And I was in a great grief about leaving Makkah Mukarramah, not knowing when I might see Baitullah Sharif again. And at that time, I said that, O Osman, remember that a day will come when I will be in your place and you will be standing in my place. And that time has come. O Osman, Allah has made my words into truth. I am standing in your position where I have the keys and you are in the weaker position. But, O Osman, I'm not going to do to you what you did to me. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he gave Usman the keys. And he said that these keys will stay with you in your family until the last day, until the end of time. This is hilm. This is tahammul. This is called forbearance. Giving people their right, even when they have wronged you. Forgiving people for having forbearance, even when they have hurt you. This requires a lot of tahammul. This requires a lot of forbearance. It requires that we remember our humanity, that we also should try to remember this sifat and develop this sifat inside of us. If in our homes today, if there are fights and disputes, perhaps one of the reasons is because we have lost this golden attribute which is so beloved to Allah, this forbearance. We're not able to tolerate what other people do, what other people say. So this is the lesson for today, that we have to learn that may Allah Ta'ala give us this quality of hilm, and especially hilm with people close to us, people with us. One of the last messages that the Prophet gave before he left this world, Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she says that I brought my ear close to the Prophet to listen to what the Prophet was saying in the last moments before he passed away. And the Prophet said, As-salah, as-salah, that be careful about your salah. And the second thing which the Prophet said, that ittaqullah fima malakat aymanukum, that fear Allah regarding those people who are under your care, your servants, your spouse, your children, they're all under our care. And the Prophet, this was the last message that he gave to his ummah before he passed away. In one sense, this was the summary of the entire teaching. Salah and be careful, fear Allah with respect to how you deal with those people who are under you, under your care. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us that we can adorn ourselves with the sifat of hilm. May Allah ta'ala grant us as individuals this forbearance, this tolerance. May Allah ta'ala grant us this as a collective, as an ummah, this forbearance and tolerant attitude, that we can have forbearance and we can forgive our fellow human beings. We can forgive our fellow Muslim brothers and sisters. We can forgive fellow human beings. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, we'll make dua. Subhan Rabbil al-Wahhab. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا الله يا رب الكريم الله آپ کے ہم عاجز مسکین سے بندے ہیں اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما اللہ ہماری خطاؤں کو درگزر فرما یا رب کریم اپنی رحمت کا معاملہ فرما یا رب کریم ہم پر اپنی مہربانی کا معاملہ فرما اللہ آپ کے بندے ہیں اللہ آپ کے دروازے پہ حاضر ہیں اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دیجئے یا رب کریم رمضان مبارک کا مہینہ ہے اللہ یہ برکتوں کا مہینہ ہے مغفرت کا مہینہ ہے یا رب کریم یا اللہ اس مہینے کی برکت سے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما اللہ ہمیں اپنی برکت نصیب فرما یا رب کریم جو گناہ راتوں میں کی ان کو معاف فرما جو گناہ دن میں کی ان کو معاف فرما اللہ جو گناہ ہم نے زبانوں سے کی ان کو معاف فرما اللہ جو گناہ ہم نے آنکھوں سے کی ان کو معاف فرما اللہ جو گناہ ہم نے دل میں کی ان کو معاف فرما ہاتھوں پیروں سے کی ان کو معاف فرما یا رب کریم جو گناہ ہم نے راتوں میں کیے سوچوں میں کیے اللہ تمام گناہوں کو معاف فرما اللہ جو گناہ ہم نے جان بوجھ کے کی ان کو معاف فرما اور جو انجانے میں کی ان کو معاف فرما جو خلوت میں کی ان کو معاف فرما اللہ جو محفلوں میں کی ان کو معاف فرما یا رب کریم جو ارادے کے ساتھ کی ان کو معاف فرما جو بنا ارادے کی اللہ ان کو بھی معاف فرما اللہ گناہوں کی ذلت سے ہماری حفاظت فرما इताअत की इज्जत नसीब फरमा। या रब करीम, या अल्लाह हमारे गुनाहों को अल्लाह हमारे आमाल नामे आमाल से मिटा दीजिए। या रब करीम, हमारे अच्छे अमलों को कबूल फरमा लीजिए। या रब करीम, या अल्लाह इल्म के बाद अल्लाह जहालत के कामों से हमारी हिफाजत फरमा। अल्लाह हिदायत के बाद गुमराही से हमारी हिफाजत फरमा। अल्लाह अपने कुर्ब के बाद दूरी से हमारी हिफाजत फरमा। या रब करीम, या अल्लाह हमारी नेक तमन्नाओं को पूरा फरमा। अल्लाह हमने दुनिया में देखा है कि माँ बाप अपने बच्चों की नेक छोटी छोटी तमन्नाएं पूरा करके खुश हो जाते हैं। या रब करीम, या अल्लाह अल्लाह हमारी भी कुछ आपके साथ तमन्नाएं हैं, तवक्कुआत हैं। अल्लाह आप भी हमारी तमन्नाओं को पूरा फरमा दीजिए। या रब करीम, आप वो ज़ात हैं जो दे के खुश होते हैं। अल्लाह हम आपके बंदे हैं, आपसे ले के खुश होते हैं। या रब करीम, अल्लाह आप अपना करम अता कर दीजिए। अल्लाह हमें दे दीजिए। अल्लाह आप खुश हो जाइए। अल्लाह हमें दे दीजिए। अल्लाह हमें भी खुश कर दीजिए। अल्लाह हम आपसे आप ही को मांगते हैं। अल्लाह आपसे आपकी मोहब्बत मांगते हैं। अल्लाह आपसे आपका ताल्लुक चाहते हैं। या रब करीम, या अल्लाह हमें अपना साथ अता फरमा दीजिए। हमें अपनी निस्बत अता फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह अपनी मोहब्बत अता फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह अपने इश्क की आतिश हमारे सीनों में पैदा फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह अपनी तमाम नेमतें अता फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह जो आपको सिफात पसंद हैं, अल्लाह हमें भी वो सिफात अल्लाह उनसे मुजयन फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह आपको हिल्म पसंद है, अल्लाह हमें भी हिल्म वाला बना दीजिए। अल्लाह आपको जो भी सिफात पसंद है अल्लाह हमें अता कर दीजिए। या रब करीम, या अल्लाह हमें जल्दबाजी से हमारी हिफाजत फरमा, नाजायज़ गुस्से से हमारी हिफाजत फरमा। या रब करीम, जैसा आप हमें देखना चाहते हैं अल्लाह हमें वैसा बना दीजिए। अल्लाह हम अपने आप को पेश करते हैं, अल्लाह आप हमें बदल दीजिए। अल्लाह आप हमें बदल दीजिए। अल्लाह सर के बालों से ले के पैर के नाखूनों तक अल्लाह हमें ऐसा बना दीजिए कि अल्लाह आपको पसंद आ जाए। अल्लाह हमारे ज़ाहिर से ले के बातिन की गहराइयों तक अल्लाह हमें ऐसा बना दीजिए कि आपको पसंद आ जाए। या रब करीम, या अल्लाह बच्चा चलते चलते थकता है तो अपने माँ बाप की तरफ देखता है। अल्लाह हम भी चलते चलते थक गए, अल्लाह आपको देखते हैं, अल्लाह आपकी रहमत को देखते हैं। अल्लाह अपनी रहमत से अल्लाह हमें मंजिल तक पहुँचा दीजिए। अपनी रहमत से या अल्लाह हमें अपने तक पहुँचा दीजिए। अल्लाह हम आपके पास आना चाहते हैं लेकिन अल्लाह कमज़ोर हैं, अल्लाह कमज़ोर हैं। अल्लाह नफ्स और शैतान हमें रोक लेता है। अल्लाह दुनिया हमें इधर उधर कर देती है। या रब करीम, अपनी रहमत अता कर दीजिए। हमें गिरने से बचा लीजिए, हमें फिसलने से बचा लीजिए, हमें मुंह मोड़ने से बचा लीजिए। या रब करीम, हमें हिम्मत तोड़ने से बचा लीजिए, हिम्मत हारने से बचा लीजिए। या रब करीम, अपनी रहमत वाला मामला कर दीजिए। अल्लाह शफकत वाला मामला कर दीजिए। अल्लाह हमने तो देखा है कि जब बच्चा अपने माँ बाप की तरफ चल के आ रहा होता है तो चलते चलते जैसे ही गिरने वाला होता है, गिरने से पहले उसके माँ बाप उसको गोद में उठा लेते हैं। या रब करीम, हमें भी गिरने से पहले अल्लाह अपनी तरफ उठा लीजिए, हमें अपना बना दीजिए। अल्लाह अपनी रहमत नसीब फरमा दीजिए। या रब करीम, या अल्लाह अपने नेक बंदों में शामिल फरमा लीजिए। अल्लाह अपनी मोहब्बत में ज़िंदगी गुजारने की तौफीक अता फरमा। अल्लाह अपनी मोहब्बत वाला मांगना नसीब फरमा। अल्लाह अपनी मोहब्बत के अंदर जीना नसीब फरमा, मोहब्बत में मरना अता फरमा। या रब करीम, अपने आशिकीन बंदों में शामिल फरमा, अपने चाहने वालों बंदों में अल्लाह हमारा नाम भी लिख दीजिए। अल्लाह अपनी चाहत को हमारे दिलों के अंदर खूब बढ़ा दीजिए। अल्लाह अपनी मोहब्बत को अल्लाह खूब बढ़ा दीजिए। अपने पूरे दिल के साथ अल्लाह हमें मोहब्बत करने की तौफीक अता फरमा, पूरी मेहनत के साथ अल्लाह आपको राज़ी करने की तौफीक अता फरमा। या रब करीम, या अल्लाह अगर आप नाराज़ हैं, अल्लाह हम अपने गुनाहों पे नादिम और शर्मिंदा हैं, अल्लाह तोबा करते हैं अपने गुनाहों से। या रब करीम, या अल्लाह माफ़ भी तो आप ही को करना है। अल्लाह हमारे गुनाहों को माफ़ कर दीजिए। अल्लाह हमारे आइंदा के लिए नेकी वाली ज़िंदगी अता कर दीजिए। अल्लाह एक नज़र रहमत हम पर डाल दीजिए। अल्लाह एक नज़र मोहब्बत हम पर डाल दीजिए। अल्लाह हमारे दिलों के अंदर अपनी याद को भर दीजिए, हमारे दिलों के अंदर अपनी मोहब्बत को भर दीजिए। अल्लाह अपनी याद वाली ज़िंदगी नसीब फरमा। या रब करीम, गफलत से और गुनाहों से हमारी हिफाजत फरमा। अल्लाह ऐसी याद अता फरमा कि अल्लाह हम आपको भूलना चाहें भी तो भूल ना सकें, अल्लाह को भुलाना चाहें भी तो भुला ना सकें। या रब करीम, या अल्लाह हमें दुनिया के अंदर बरकतें अता फरमा। अल्लाह जो काम अटके हैं अल्लाह उनको हल फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह जो काम बिखरे हैं उनको समेट दीजिए। अल्लाह जो भी दिल की नेक तमन्नाएं हैं, मुरादें हैं, अल्लाह अपनी रहमत से उनको पूरा फरमा। अल्लाह जिसके भी जो भी दिल में अल्लाह नेक इरादे हैं, अल्लाह आप तो सबके इरादों को जानते हैं, सबकी नीयतों को जानते हैं, अल्लाह सबकी उम्मीदों को जानते हैं। या रब्बे करीम, या अल्लाह हम आपसे लेने आए हैं, या रब्बे करीम हमें अता कर दीजिए। या रब्बे करीम, ये तो दुआओं का महीना है, अल्लाह हम आपसे मांग रहे हैं, अल्लाह फजल फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह आपने में कुरान में फरमाया कि सवाली को इनकार ना करना, अल्लाह हम कमज़ोरों को ये हुक्म है कि सवाली को इनकार ना करें। अल्लाह हम भी तो आपके दर के सवाली हैं, अल्लाह इनकार ना फरमाइए, अल्लाह दे दीजिए, अल्लाह अता कर दीजिए, अल्लाह अपनी रहमत रहमत से अता कर दीजिए, अल्लाह मेहरबानी फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह एहसान फरमा दीजिए। या रब्बे करीम, खाली हाथ ना लौटाइए, या रब्बे करीम अता कर दीजिए, अल्लाह जो मांगे उससे बेहतर अता कर दीजिए, अल्लाह जो मांगना चाहिए था अल्लाह नहीं मांग सके वो भी अता कर दीजिए, अल्लाह हर खैर हर बरकत हर आफियत अता फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह दुनिया की हसनात अता फरमा, आखिरत के हसनात अता फरमा, अल्लाह आपने जो नेमतें दी हैं हर नेमत में बरकत अता फरमा। या रब्बे करीम, या अल्लाह बरकतों वाली ज़िंदगी अता फरमा, कदम कदम पे बरकतें नसीब फरमा, फैसलों में बरकतें अता फरमा, इल्म अमल में बरकतें अता फरमा, अल्लाह रिस्क में कामों में पढ़ाई में बरकतें अता फरमा। या रब्बे करीम, अपनी रहमत की ठंडी छाँव नसीब फरमा। या रब्बे करीम, कभी भी बेआसरा ना फरमा, कभी भी हमें अपने दर से दूर ना फरमा, अल्लाह कभी भी हमें गैर के हवाले ना फरमा, हमें नफ्स और शैतान के हवाले ना फरमा। या रब्बे करीम, हमेशा अपनी रहमत की अल्लाह ठंडी छाँव अता फरमा। सल्लल्लाहु तआला अला खैर खल्की मुहम्मद व अला आलिही व सहबी अजमाइन बिरहमतिका या अरहमर।